Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Valerian. Welcome to Crypto Nights.
Excellent. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. We are so excited. I have spent, as I always do, a couple of days researching about you, your background, and I always do that because I get so excited. Just as you know, blockchain has been a fundamental building block and a pathway to disruption, and you guys are certainly taking advantage of it in a very aligned manner, not in a contrived. You're more organic than inorganic, if there's a word like that.
Excellent. Yeah.
Why don't we start off with an introduction to you? And am I pronouncing your name right? Is it Valerian?
Yes, that's perfect. I've got originally from Northern California, so I've got hippie parents that named me after an opiate poppy flower. You take the root and ground it up into a tea. And if you ever have trouble sleeping, try some valerian root tea. I swear it'll knock you out.
Valerian with hops. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, So
I'm founder and CEO of PopChest, and we're building a project called the Pop Network. And Pop Network, is the easiest way to think of it is YouTube on the blockchain. So building a decentralized video distribution platform, one that doesn't have any ads or subscriptions. So we use cryptocurrency micropayments using our token, the Pop token, so that content creators can connect directly with their community. So hopefully they start to make more money, they make better stuff. We as viewers don't have to be subjected to constant ads in our face, as well as big monthly bills to watch content. So we think it's a completely different way of attacking the big problem of global media distribution that I hope will be better for everyone involved.
It's certainly an alternative because YouTube itself is testing out RedTube, and quite frankly, everybody, including myself, we are sick of the ads. You want to play a video and then the ad starts playing, and it's extremely irritating. I mean, just to say the least.
So, yeah, for sure. And it's crazy when you think about it, that model that we have, you watch a video before you watch your video. That model came from basically television ads, right? Now we have it online. And before that, it came from radio. So really, it's been the same model for pretty much 100 years, which is crazy when you think of how big of an industry that is and how much money is involved and how many people it touches, that it's basically been operating the same since horses and buggies. It's kind of crazy.
So let's say I make a video. Now I could upload it to YouTube. I could upload it to PopChest. Let's pretend for a minute that I want to upload it to PopChest. And then I'm going to kind of sit back and, maybe I will also adjust the payment. I'll say, hey, it's 0.1 PopChest tokens or Pop tokens or whatever you planning to call it.
Sure.
And every time somebody plays it and views it, Pop token. Every time if somebody watches my video, I'm imagining that I'm going to get paid whatever I put in, or they won't watch it because they don't like the price. Am I in the right direction here?
Yeah, you're absolutely in the right direction. And to if we can geek out a little bit on the technology. So it's the POP token will be an ERC-20 token, which is a subset of Ethereum, works on the Ethereum network. And we're building something called payment channels, which allows these kinds of transactions to function much more efficiently. So how payment channels work, it's similar to when you walk into a bar and open a bar tab. So you walk in, you swipe your card, you have as many drinks and appetizers as you want. And then at the end, your transaction is closed out. And that's kind of how payment channels work. So if you were following CryptoKitties, there is a very popular app on the Ethereum network. But one of the problems that happened was you had its popularity was such that it started clogging the Ethereum network because so many people were transacting at the same time. The POP network will avoid that with payment channels. So you open a channel with a deposit, you fill up your POP chest, your wallet, let's say, $5 worth of of tokens. And then once your channel is open, you can watch as many different videos as you want, go from, you know, content creator to content creator. And we only hit the blockchain again once you close out your wallet. So it's a super efficient way to deal with the high frequency kind of transactions that we need for it to work. And when we're talking about the value of the transactions, it's relatively minor. I mean, that's why we call them, you know, micropayments. A few cents, even if you take, you know, theoretically 1 penny per view, and just so we have a nice round number, that's an order of magnitude more than what content creators are making with advertising, through advertising supported models. So it's not much skin off the nose for viewers. They get a better just viewing experience. And for content creators, it's just such a better system.
You're motivating me. So you're basically saying for every million views, if we were charging 1 penny per view, you're talking about a $10,000 payout, payday for a million views.
You dropped out that last part. Can you tell me that one again?
Yeah, 1 second. Yeah. So I was just saying that if we charged a penny per view for something that gets a million views, you're going to be making, as a content creator, $10,000. Right. That's a far cry from ad revenues.
Yeah. And really from a million views, and we're just, you know, kind of spitballing the numbers here, but typically that would be about $1,000 on YouTube. So it's literally 10x.
Well, that's fantastic. Okay. So I think I'm getting a feel for this. So if we were to do lower upper bounding, so on the low end, we are bounded by YouTube free, but ads, the irritation and all of that. On the upper end, we are bounded by, let me just take Netflix as an example.
Sure.
So $10-$12 a month, you know, consume as much as you want, right? So, and I don't know, an average Netflix viewer, an hour a day, 30 hours a month, is probably the high end of things. So if you're looking at it that way, I'm just trying to get a feel for that's that many hours of content, right, that people are watching, and presumably for $10-$12. So is your pricing for the viewers going to be approximately bounded in that range? If somebody watched an hour a day for 30 days, how much would a viewer pay in your opinion?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, which is, like, if you think of what something like Netflix or Amazon Instant Videos, that sort of tier where you're getting, you know, movies and that, they tend to, from a number standpoint, tend to come out to anywhere between 15, 20, maybe up to 25 cents per hour is generally what you're paying for. So, you know, as long as we can remain competitive with that, and I think we'll be able to do, particularly as we kind of, once people really start to wrap their heads around micropayments, there's not really been a successful micropayments application yet. And I think people have been talking about this idea of micropayments for quite some time, really since the beginning of the internet. I think if you go back and talk to some of the folks who are around at the beginning of the web, I think a lot of the regret that they have is not really having a micropayment system in place at the beginning of the web. So this is an opportunity, I think, for us to actually, you know, give it a shot now that we have blockchain technology that can functionally make micropayments work, as long as we're able to sort of fit into what the expectation is of consumers, knowing the experiences that they have with the upper end of Netflix and Amazon, and with, let's say, the lower end of YouTube's and the like. As long as we can fit into those expectations, I think we'll be good.
Awesome. Have you finished the token design, the white paper, the pitch deck, the website, and things like that?
Yeah. So you can go to popchess.com and get a good sense of where we're at, what we're up to.
Awesome. So Can you give us a little bit of an idea of any nuances in your token design? I understand the obvious, but are there any non-obvious features and benefits in your token design?
Sure, and that's it's really great that you put it that way. There's certain features that are obvious, and that's where we're starting with using POP tokens as micropayments for content. And really, it's a matter of expanding and growing from there, and doing all of the things that tokens allow us to do that you couldn't do otherwise. In the roadmap for what we're building, we want to create basically a community around the token that incentivizes what we consider to be positive actions for the network. I think that's one of the revolutionary things about token economies is that you can kind of build an army, really, an army of people that are truly invested in this idea and provide ownership in the sense that people feel like they have something at stake for the success of the platform. And I'm using the word ownership, in a broad sense, but in the same way that, Reddit moderators feel like, they are owners of the platform because, their contributions are the thing that gives the network value. So to be able to sort of translate that into the POP network, let me give more of a concrete example. Obviously, if you're a content creator, you upload something, people watch it, you get tokens in return. That's pretty straightforward. But what about you as a viewer, right? You're contributing tokens to the content creator, but you're also creating another kind of value. Let's say you watch 10 videos from the same content creator. Why don't we acknowledge that you're kind of a patron? I don't want to say Patreon, but you're kind of a patron, right? So since you have a micropayment wallet, we can reward you in that way. Let's say you start sharing content, you're creating value for the network. We can reward you with micropayments for that. So there's a whole rewards engine that we can say, okay, we want to grow the network. We want people who are involved in growing the network to be rewarded. And because everyone in the network has a micropayment capable wallet, we can send tokens back to people for their positive contributions. That's one way of thinking about it. And another way, which is super, super unique to what it is that we're doing, is particularly with how we distribute media. The first part of what we're doing is focusing primarily on payments and getting micropayments to work. But really the second part is dealing with the actual video distribution itself. One of the things that, let's say, the easiest example is YouTube. One of the powers that it holds, because it's able to physically hold all of the media, that's how they, are able to attach ads to it. And that's the path to effectively control, let's put it that way, and monetization. So what if we're able to rather store video in one central place? We can decentralize it. So think of how BitTorrent works. We can make it so that all of the people who are watching the videos are effectively hosting the videos as well. And we end up creating a peer-to-peer video distribution system. That's the ultimate goal. And so that way, if I start watching a video and then you want to watch the same video, you can start to get packets from me. And then a third person comes to watch video, that person can get packets from both of us, and on it goes until we create, this giant peer-to-peer network of content distributors. And the incentive for doing that, for you hosting and streaming videos to the broader community, is that every time you're streaming, you get micropayments in return. So you can really sort of, rather than buy tokens, there's a way you can kind of earn your way onto the platform. And those two things, peer-to-peer distribution of media, as well as peer-to-peer micropayments, those are really the two fundamental core kind of components of the system.
Yeah. And that's what I found very exciting. That's the reason I asked that question, is because I was deconstructing this whole process and said, okay, there's a supply, I'm an engineer, so I think of supply, demand, and all of these things. So there's a supply chain of videos coming in. That means there are many things that are happening on the supply side. You know, a whole bunch of people are putting that video together. So probably it's a team of people that will share the spoils. Maybe there are ways in which that token can be co-owned. And then the second thing, or an account for a video can be co-owned and then distributed in percentages that they determine. And then there is a secondary aspect that, oh, somebody actually introduced them to the network, right? So thereby onboarding, referral type of a bonus could be considered. And then now it is on the network. Where the heck is it hosted, right? So that's the part you were referring to, is somebody is offering an additional infrastructural service, peer-to-peer, whatever you might call it. And then therefore they get paid for every time that it is, it's being run from that hosting site, so to speak.
Exactly.
Right. So you kind of attribute value back there. And then finally, there is the consumption side. I look at it and maybe I like it. You know, maybe there are some actions that are going to reward me for taking, or maybe I share it on my Facebook page.
Right? Absolutely.
I'm tweeting it out. And whenever I'm doing that, my ID is encoded automatically. And the traffic that I drive back here results in compensating me because I'm bringing in traffic, I'm promoting them, I'm advertising it. So I do token design for a living. So I kind of like to deconstruct things and look for what are the positive behaviors in this, who are the players and what are the positive behaviors? Sure. The token enable those and disable the negative behaviors. So I found it very fascinating, and it looks like you have considered many of those. So what's your timeline? When are you, what are you going to do with the money you raise? How much are you raising? What is the timeline? Let's get into that aspect.
Yeah, so we're doing things a little bit differently here. So most token sales, basically they do the sale and then promise to build something, a few years down the road, maybe if you're lucky. So from the beginning, really, and I started this, actually, before I started this company, I was a network television editor. So I'm based down here in Los Angeles, studied film at the University of Southern California, and went into the film and TV industry and stayed in Los Angeles for obvious reasons. So for about 10 years, I did music videos for a little while, and then into basically reality TV shows. So The Real World, RuPaul's Drag Race, those are a couple of the shows that I edited. And the last show that I edited was in 2015. So I found myself at the end of 2015, I found myself kind of sitting at my desk trying to work and then, looking over my shoulder at the Bitcoin charts. So, once I started to be so consumed by it, that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I've got to do something in this arena, and just sort of combining, they say the best startups are the ones that kind of you solve your own problem. So really this project is coming from my experience as someone who sees how the global media distribution machine works, sees how inefficient it is, knowing what's possible with blockchain technology. And that's kind of how the whole thing started. And my goal from the beginning was to make something practical, make something that works, make something that people who aren't necessarily into Bitcoin or blockchain or Ethereum who could use, and they wouldn't really have to know about all of the technical stuff underneath. So that sort of is what's kind of informed our process. So we've actually built a good chunk of what it is that we need to build. And our goal is that when we do our token sale, after we do all of our security audits and do the token distribution, at the point where we distribute the token will be usable on our platform. So that's been our guiding principle from the beginning. So the goal is to do the actual launch of the network this summer. Ideally, end of June. We'll see if we can, fingers crossed, be able to keep to that. But we want to launch the platform in June, conclude the token sale sometime in May, and then kind of working backwards here, start the token sale in the early part of May. So that's the goal that we've laid out.
How long has PopChest been in existence? Is it a new company or has it been around for a couple of years?
Yeah, so I started pretty much full time on it in the beginning of 2016, and it was just me and an idea of trying to find engineers to take it out of my head and into practice. So it's been in some form or another, and we've taken it through a couple of iterations. First started out as a Bitcoin micropayment platform, actually on-chain Bitcoin micropayments. We did that with the hopes of, okay, at some point we'd get SegWit and then we'd be able to, move into Bitcoin payment channels, which is, the more elaborate version is Lightning Network, which you're just now seeing starting to come out. But, it took, I think, if anyone remembers when the idea of SegWit and, fixing transaction malleability, and those ideas were being kicked around, 2015, early 2016. And then that sort of went off into its own direction and trying to upgrade the Bitcoin network, which gave us Bitcoin Cash. And we all know how that story ended. So at some point, it became clear that the fixes to the Bitcoin network weren't coming in a fast enough way that would be helpful to us. So what we started to do is really spend a lot of time completely not even really thinking about the blockchain stuff and really focusing on the process of micropayments. How do you talk to content creators and get them on board a new kind of system? How do you deal with their communities and trying to introduce a new way of doing things? Would people even want to, quote unquote, pay for content? So we ran a lot of even before we decided to really focus down on the blockchain technology, really focus on iterating a lot of different versions of the site. And ultimately, that took us into the Boost VC Accelerator, Adam Draper's outfit up in Silicon Valley. We were doing that about the end of 2016 and throughout 2017. Came out of that, got a small investment from Boost, as well as Digital Finance Group, DFG's investors in Brave Wallet, the Brave Browser, Ripio, a bunch of really quality projects, and really spent 2017 working the problem until we found something that that really works, that not only works, but is repeatable in terms of getting content creators onto a platform, getting them to constantly create, really finding a process where their community kind of feels like they're much closer to the content creator than they would be otherwise on different platforms. So it's been one heck of a journey, and the blockchain space pretty much completely changes every 3 months. But somehow throughout that whole process, we stayed focused on, really trying to create something that's practical, that works for content creators in their communities, and we're really close to launch.
And have you tested that these ideas that people will be using tokens to view user experience, have those been tested, or are you going to be using the ICO money raise to start building and testing? So how is that? Yeah.
So we'll effectively use the money that we raised to expand not only the platform itself and obviously build out the teams necessary to do that, but also to expand from the content side and hopefully be able to entice more and more content creators on board. It's one of those things where if you see something working, that makes it more highly likely that it's going to work. So kind of having that, the momentum of the sale, I think, will be a good attractor to content creators. And we're building a good roster of folks to start with. So we just announced our POP partner program. So that way, content creators who are really interested in the idea, who kind of see what we're doing and are really a natural fit to what we're doing, can come on board, set up their channels before launch, and then as we launch, they're the first to be able to use the platform. So we definitely have a good basis for content creators to get on board early. And, you know, it's just like any year, relatively hopefully rewards.
You had broken up a little bit.
I saw that.
Repeat what you said in last sentence.
Yeah, so we've just opened our POP partner program. So basically, we want to give artists and content creators, people who are aligned with our message and our mission, give them an opportunity to open up channels, start their video channels, so that way when we do launch the platform this summer, they're the first ones on board. And you know, it's like with anything else, if you build something and it becomes popular, hopefully the people that are on early, because we're rewarding them with tokens, that they'll be able to kind of feel the success of being on a platform that becomes very, very popular. So we're basically, you know, building our community, continuing to build our community of creators. And then they're the ones that then sort of go out to their existing community of viewers and bring them on board. So we definitely want to continue to look for and find content creators that are aligned with what it is that we're trying to do. And hopefully we can all grow together.
I like that. I like that. So overall, how much money are you planning to raise in the ICO?
Our top end is $40 million. Ideally, you know, we'll be able to do half of that in our pre-sale. We'll see how that goes. And we've got some other announcements that that will be coming in the upcoming weeks that I think as we get closer are going to help build some excitement towards you know, towards us getting that number. I think there's two parts to it, really. There's one, the actual technology itself, which is, you know, I can geek out as much as you want, but I'm super excited about that. But really the other part of this and the thing that I think is really going to push it over the edge is ultimately you need content, right? You need content that people are excited about and, you know, people are you know, willing to rally around this new process. And it's all about the content and personalities that drive that. So as we get closer to the token sale, what you're going to see from us is, you know, a series of announcements that kind of show some of the folks who are behind this, you know, this movement is really what we want to create. And that all starts with personalities and content creators.
Yeah. I mean, that is very exciting because I can see a variety of ways in which you can generate viral excitement, because sure, you want to raise a big chunk of money in the pre-token sale because you need money to be raised, but you're also building a community. The two reasons for ICO.
Absolutely.
Building the community. And I can see content creators creating exciting viral videos, and you can run a campaign or a contest between content creators, and they actually promote your ICO and you can track them and reward them. So I can see a lot of very, very exciting ways in which this can happen. So what are your start and end dates, and what should people do to stay connected with what's coming up?
Yeah, so we're starting our private pre-sale Monday, March 26th, which is rapidly approaching. I'm going to be here in Los Angeles right now, but heading to Zurich for the Crypto Summit in Zurich, Switzerland, then to Bitcoin Wednesday's big annual event in Amsterdam, followed by the World Blockchain Forum in Dubai. So hopefully we'll be meeting a lot of interesting people directly at those events. But private presale effectively is open now. The best way to get in touch with us is through our website. So if you go to popchess.com, you can, at the very top, you can register for the private presale. The public presale we'll be doing in early May. And then because our token will be usable on the site at launch, I think that's going to give us a lot of flexibility in terms of a public sale domestically in the United States, and of course, worldwide as well. So That's definitely our intent, is to ensure that both U.S. Investors as well as international folks can participate.
Is it going to be restricted in U.S. to the accredited investors, or can anyone invest?
Sure. So that's an interesting question that I don't feel comfortable answering with on the podcast. But off the record, what I'll say is this. Off the record, I'll say the first part, the private, basically the pre-sale parts have to be limited to accredited investors in the United States, not internationally, but in the United States. And the thing that we're trying to work out right now, our goal is that when the platform is open and actually functioning, that will effectively allow us to do a public sale, because people can, you know, you buy the token, you use the token. That is the definition of what I think what most people want to think that utility tokens are. We're still doing the legal framework for that. So that's why I wanted to keep it off the record. But just so you know, personally, the intent, that's our intent.
Yeah, wonderful. So this is very exciting. Are there other points or other questions that I did not ask that you think that our listeners should know about PopChest?
Let's see. That's a good question. Let me just kind of pop through some, made some notes as well. Yeah, I think, you know, just if we could, I'll throw out our Telegram group. I think that's a good...
I was asking. How can we stay in touch? And because you didn't mention it, I wasn't sure.
It kind of got off a little. Yeah, it did go off the rails a little bit on that one. But yeah, that would be good, a good spot. And yeah, we'll take it from there.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'm sure you can edit it together as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. And I wish you the very best. I think this is very, I'm excited because this, to me personally, it is very exciting that we're going to get rid of some of the ads and monetize. I'm excited from both sides because I love video. I'm a very right brain person. So, and I hate ads. And on the other hand, I also generate a lot of content. So I have an ulterior motive in making money through PopChest.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that's you're one of the targets. So if we can get you and a whole bunch of other crypto creators on board, that would be great. I think the best way to get in touch with us, obviously, you can go to popchest.com and check out the site. If you want to get in immediate direct contact with us, our Telegram group is growing, t.me/popnetwork. That's for our alerts. And then we have a community discussion at t.me/popchest. So yeah, the door's open. We want to hear from folks, get as much feedback as we can, and continue working on making the best video distribution platform that we can possibly build.
All the best, Valerian. Good talking to you. Thank you for being our guest.
Excellent. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.